Hello, everybody, and welcome to a dramatic episode of Cantina MX Football Podcast. We're back with episode 310. We have just witnessed Mexico lose back-to-back World Cup qualifiers. And we have a lot to talk about tonight. I'm your host, Jaime Landeros. Joining me tonight is Joel. Joel, let's waste no time. How are we doing?
¿Qué ole, Jaime? I'm doing good, actually, and I was actually pleased with the final minutes of that Mex-Canada game. It left me, gave me some hope. Not that I had lost it, but it added a bit more.
Yeah, for a second I had to make sure I was watching the right game. Is this Mexico or is this... is this Chivas? Because nothing but disappointment and frustration from Mexico tonight. I did appreciate the little, the last minute never die sort of attitude, but it was a little bit too late. And honestly, I thought the most entertaining part of tonight's match was the little scrap at the end.
Yeah, there was definitely about time. Mex showed some fire. They were like zombies for a good, I'll say about 60 minutes or so, where they were just not being able to play to their capabilities. And then HH with the goal, and then it seemed to bring the El Tri to life for a bit, and they had quite a few chances to have equalized the match. But I would say that was and it's not consolation, but it was a good to claw one back, because it could go down to goal differential, at least depending how hard the fight will be for to be in the top three. Because right now they're tied with Panama, but of course Mexico has the better record, so they're on third.
Yeah, a lot of shifting has happened this round. Mexico was on top of the group with 14 points, and we'll talk about the USA match a little bit later. They lose to USA, and then they lose today against Canada. So they stay stagnant at exactly 14 points while everybody else climbed up. Panama beat El Salvador 2-1 today. And obviously USA got a draw against Jamaica. Canada with the big victory. Now they're in first place with 16 points. Canada!
Yeah, they've been doing a good job. And we've been talking about them, This isn't new. They've been working at this for a while now, investing and getting more teams and whatnot. And, of course, making that move to co-host the World Cup. So this is part of that work. And I welcome Canada as one of the – I hope they become one of the stronger teams, because I do feel the region is lacking. It needs – teams that are, at least I'm going to say that they could consistently stay at a good level. Because I would say if anything hurts the region is how inconsistent a lot of the teams can be, where Honduras, for example, throughout the years, they've had some really talented players. And right now they're just, I believe they're at the bottom of the table. 3 points in 8 games, not indicative of what Honduras is capable of. But that's what we're seeing right now. And I think that hurts the region overall, where it's has such a, you know, low image of between, you know, among fans, where they see it as it sucks, and it's because, you know, a lot of these teams, they're not able to stay consistent, at least to maintain a decent level, you know, of playing. Costa Rica did it for a couple years. They sort of hit a slump. I'm sure they could get back on track. But the majority of the teams, they always, you know, they leave a lot to be desired.
Yeah, they'll be relevant for a little bit, and then they'll fall back into obscurity. You know, look at Costa Rica, made the quarterfinals, and right now they only have 9 points.
But you know, Costa Rica, and it's like, I would say they're one of the teams that has been more consistent, because they went to the World Cup in 90. They missed it, 94, 98. When they go back? 2001.
Was it 2006 against Germany?
2006, and then they went in 2014. Were they even in 2018, Jaime? Because my memory is hazy.
It was, yeah, they were in it.
Yeah, so there you go. They managed to be in a couple of World Cups and got, you know, some good results. And just, but you know, it happens where your talent will dry up, your generation is not as good as previous ones. And so I think that that's what they're going through. They just don't have that. But I do think they've been one of the more consistent ones, right up there with, you know, Mex and the U.S. But then Canada's making that strong push. So I do think the more we see teams that are able to maintain a strong level, you know, you'll see a more competitive region.
So that's your you're trying to find the silver lining in this. It's like, it's good for Mexico to have a little bit of competition.
Well, Jaime, I don't mean to cut you so quick.
Yeah.
But we do have to remind, you know, our listeners, Mex has always struggled in Canada.
Is that
right? They've never really gone in there and, you know, whooped that ass, opened a can of whoop ass. They've always had a hard time. You could go back to going into qualifying to World Cup 94. You know, they had that. Abuelo Cruz had to score that goal. I think it was in the last minutes. And as my memory is, again, playing tricks. But, you know, it came down to that match for Mexico qualifying into 94 World Cup. We had the one before the Hex with Suazo. I mean, not Suazo, Bozo, El Oso Polar. I guess he fell at home scoring that goal that put Mexico in the Hex, because they were going to not even make it to the hexagonal. So, yeah, throughout the years, they have, that's one of the venues that it's been difficult for El Tri to play in.
Yeah, up until now, Canada had only ever won 3 times against Mexico. We have to go all the way back to the Gold Cup in 2000. So this was a very big victory for Canada. And, you know, I got to give credit to whoever did the schedule, because, you know, Mexico has a really tough schedule. They're going to have 4 away games before they go back home. So this is,
Played 2 though,
yeah,
right?
They did play 2. They played, yeah.
So 2 more, will they play Jamaica?
Mexico, let me see. I think their next game will be against Jamaica. Yeah, and then they'll play Costa Rica.
Okay, see, and I think if we're seeing it, they played the hardest teams out of the 4, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But they do need to get some points there. If they could get 1 win out of the next 2 games, they'll be in good form, because after that, the schedule turns in their favor.
Yeah, so if you look at the remaining schedule, so I'm sorry, Mexico had 3 away games already. So they played El Salvador 1-2-0, then they lost against USA, and then they lost against Canada, and then they're going to play against Jamaica. So this is going to be 4 road games in a row, and then they'll play Costa Rica at home with no fans.
Oh, okay. Which, as you said, Jaime, it's even better for Max.
Yeah.
That's a blessing in disguise, because you don't want to go home with this struggling team and the fans are against you. So this is a blessing for Tata.
You know, sad as it is, that's, you know, it's true. You know, because the tide can turn on you. Like, right now, I have no idea what, you know, the other outlets are talking about, but I'm sure they're upset with Tata, and you know, they're riding on emotion right now. They want him out. I'm sure they're already calling for his head.
Yes, and I was seeing some people already tweeting, some I don't say people, like news outlets or journalists, that he was playing his, you know, Tata's playing his for his job, you know, basically another defeat, and he's out. And I was like, Armin, are you sure you're going to sack the coach for losing two games? And of course, what they do is they do the pile on. They'll mix the leagues and CONCACAF in and be like, no, it's not two defeats. It's this many. Like they were saying, they've lost three times to the U.S. in 5 months. And I guess I'm supposed to sleep over that, lose sleep over that, but it's just exaggeration for the most part. The team, of course, is not playing good. They're not looking that good. But that's basically any team. You know, not every team is going to maintain, you know.
This is my question. Where do we get this sense of entitlement and arrogance from? Is it because we've been so dominant in the region for so long that we just expect to show up and get victories? But
Not even that.
World Cup qualifiers they're not easy. It's not like we're guaranteed to go in.
And it's the media, Jaime. I'll answer it right away. It's because they do the talking points, and then the people latch onto them. And what's sad is that, you know, we live in the age of information. You could Google and YouTube stuff, and you could get within seconds. You could see like how, you know, you could get a record of all the games and how they played. First there was the whole belief that Mex should just qualify walking, and La Volpe, he said, I'm gonna do that, and he didn't struggle during his qualifying campaign, but he didn't win the hexagonal. Mm-hmm. He didn't finish first place. He finished second.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, that should, just for context, for saying when Mex calificó caminando, they still didn't finish first. And the team that finished first when they went to the World Cup, they couldn't get out of the first round. So it's like, you know, we've said it here. Can't use qualifiers to say what's going to happen at the World Cup, because it doesn't work like that. I mean, 2014, Mexico struggled. They had to go to repesca or repechaje, whatever you want to call it. You know, people were like, get rid of the Europeos. These guys are trash. They get to Brazil and they had one of the best World Cups in their history, you know, just in terms of how they played, you know, all of their games, not just one game or two. They pretty much maintain a really good level in their four games, which is like you really don't see that for the Mex team. They'll have like one really good game and then like a bad one, and then it's like más o menos. And in Brazil, they all four of their games they played at a good level, but see, it's very irrelevant. And if we look at head-to-head results, yeah, Mexico has struggled, especially playing abroad. I think one thing that we forget as well, that I think Mexico has given up the Azteca advantage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm going to get you here, Jaime, because you're thinking because of the fans. I said no. It's because it's not just the altitude. It's also the heat. And so normally they will play in the morning. They will play a Sunday game like at 10 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
is blistering heat, man. Plus altitude, that was the double whammy right there. Now they're playing night games, so it's easier for the visiting team.
Yeah, they don't play on like Sundays at 10 a.m. anymore. What's up with that?
Well, TV. It's for, you know, you could get more ratings at the, you know, at the night hour.
Mm. Yeah, for me, it's just like, look, everybody, as soon as the, you know, they make any sense of things going downhill, everybody piles on internet, you know, Twitter, Reddit, all that. And they're like, oh, we need to fire him immediately. And this is a disaster and a catastrophe. And it's just like, yo, it's not the end of the world. We're still in a really good position to qualify. And that's the name of the game. I know that there are some benefits to be seated in the World Cup. You do have, mathematically, you're going to be exposed to easier opposition, but it's not easy. It's still the World Cup. Like, the best of the best qualified to the World Cup. And even Portugal and Italy right now are on the verge of not making it. They're going to go into the playoff and see if they can squeeze into the World Cup. And these, remind you, these are the two last European champions, Portugal and Italy. So it's like, it's not easy for anybody. And the sense of entitlement is just ridiculous, man. Like, you try playing in a below zero, you know, it's not easy. I mean, everybody's going to blame Ochoa for messing up that goal. And it's like, dude, it's like playing on turf when it's like below zero, you're basically playing on concrete, and that ball, like, you shoot the ball and you're going to spit it right out, 'cause it's like a freaking, you know, it's like, it's so fast and hard to hold on to.
Yes, it hurts.
And the only part where I will give a little bit of criticism on Tata's part is we have not figured out defending set pieces. It's been our, you know, Achilles heel forever. And the second goal was a result of that, a set piece. Just, I don't know, maybe not holding on to your marker or not paying attention, or I have no idea what happened on that goal. But I think Tata does deserve a little bit of criticism for that.
Yeah. I did not like Osorio, but he improved Mexico in that aspect. His set piece, Max was pretty solid when it came to that. I believe they conceded the least amount of goals of any selección. So, you know, Max selección, I should say. That is solid criticism. I do think there's a few players that are just, you know, not bringing it for different reasons. I do think he needs to shake things up with the roster. I wouldn't go as far as to bring in Flores, the Arsenal kid that's tearing it up with the under 20. He's a youth. I mean, I don't think he's the answer. I'm not saying don't cap him or don't give him a try, but I think it shows the desperation of a lot of fans trying to bring in a kid because he's doing good in the youth tournament.
Marcelo, he's an Arsenal Flores, but
he's not playing with the first team. You know, with some of these youth, at least if they're in the first team, it's a different beast between youth and the senior team. But it's good to see that he's there, and hopefully he breaks into first team football, you know, because he seems to be quite talented. But I don't think that's the answer. And we saw it already, Jaime, back when there was Vela and Gio, and they were pushing for these guys to come into the national team. And that's when Sven-Goran Eriksson was there, and he was, you know, bringing in these young guys, and Mexico was getting, you know, that's when they struggled, you know, when they almost didn't make it into the hexagonal.
Yeah. I think with people, they're looking at, hey, look, here's a problem. We haven't progressed. Let's start looking at some, you know, new ideas, some solutions. And I don't agree with, like, hey, you know, here's this hotshot kid doing really well in the, you know, under 17, under 20. We should just throw him out to the Lions. Like, that's not how it works. You know, Marcelo Flores does look promising, and it would have been funny to see him play against Canada because he is Canadian. His dad's Mexican, but yeah, I mean, these are not the kind of games that you want to be throwing an unproven, you know, kid in. What I will say is it doesn't hurt to have a little bit of youth just on the bench, just for the experience and just to have that camaraderie with, you know, because I remember playing in high school, you know, like I was a freshman and we had a freshman team, but we were on the same bus as JV and varsity, and just having that experience, you do learn a lot, you do grow a lot, and you get familiarized with, you know, the team and the organization and the senior players, and, you know, who knows, maybe they might punk you or they might give you tips, but you learn from that experience. That's why
completely agree, Jaime.
That's why Ronaldo, El Fenomeno, he went to the World Cup in 94, if I'm not mistaken, but he didn't play a single minute, but he did go just for that experience.
Yeah, they did take him. You are correct. I believe he was wearing number 19.
Yeah.
He was there. He looks he looked completely different because he was really skinny. He was like really scrawny.
Yeah, that was before the soda and all the food. That was back when he was still starving in Brazil, man.
The saying was that when he went to, I don't know if he was at Holland at PSV, but when he got to Europe, I think they were giving him I forgot what it's called, but I think it's HGH Androlone. And they poked him up, and this dude was like a beast. And so they're saying that's why he ended up having so many problems with his ACL, with his knee, like his ligaments, because, you know, it was too much weight now for them to hold on to. And weight as muscle, not as, you know, that came out later, but because he did struggle with a bunch of like knee injuries.
That's right.
And Pelé had made a comment about that where he was like, and I think this was when Robinho was coming out. Robinho or Ronaldinho? But one of those two. And Pelé said, we need to protect this guy and make sure they don't do what they did to Ronaldo.
It was probably Robinho.
And he sort of like alluded to that whole thing. And it was like, yeah, it was crazy because that is something that they would give players. And I think people cut back on it. The one player that was allowed to get it was Messi.
I know, dude. That dude had like steroids in his freaking bag.
They had to put it in his Wheaties because he was going to be like 5'2 or something. So it got approved. And sometimes I wonder, man, if had he not got that HGH, you know, and fucking would he had been as good, you know?
Yeah, who knows, man? Who knows? I know that Barcelona paid for all his medical bills, so ended up panning out.
Well, that's what it was. It was those shots. It was shots of the, you know, growth hormone. We need to start doing that to some of the Mex players, you know. Somehow get medical thing that this dude's gonna be a midget if we don't give him this. We end up with these 6'5", you know, linebacker looking players.
We have Giovanna chatting in on YouTube. Shout out to her. Everybody that's on YouTube right now, feel free to leave some comments. She says, we went through a first half where we had zero shots on goal. Firing Tata won't fix things because Mexico needs some fundamental change. I don't know what that looks like, though. There's people, can you believe this? There are people hoping that we don't qualify to the World Cup in order to see some change. And all that's going to do is we're just not going to go to the World Cup. Like nothing's going to happen. You know, it's not like there's going to be a firing from head to toe and a radical change. I don't understand people that wish like death on us just to see some change. Like I really don't know what the solution is. But I do think that everybody's over exaggerating. Realistically, you know, we have a much better schedule once we get over this hump against Jamaica in January. It's going to be four home games. So, I mean,
and that would wrap up. I'm pretty sure by that, the qualification will be wrapped up, and people will forget. But it's two games. I think people are again because they're mixing it up with the other two games, but then sort of forgetting that Mex reached the final of leagues and Gold Cup. It's the only other team that did it was the U.S. So it's not like you have to be worrying about all these teams. Again, we're talking about consistency. They're not very consistent. The majority of those teams are not. Just those losing two games, no big deal. I mean, we were talking about, Ron was talking about it, and I wish he was here because he went at it with Abramovich. What was that guy? He's the reporter. He's sort of like, the guy didn't want none of it, so he sort of raised the white flag. But Ron made some good points. And if you see the U.S., three games in, they wanted to fire their coach.
That's right.
Because they said their results were there.
They were off to a very shaky start, yep.
That's just three games in. I mean, Mexico had two games. They weren't good, but they weren't bad. I mean, anybody seen eliminatorias long enough in hexagonal? Mexico has had some truly bad games, like horrific ones. These weren't that bad. The U.S. one, which we'll get into it later, a tale of two halves. And like Giovanna said, this one as well, like first half, Mex, no shots. Second half, they seem to woke up all the way at the end, and they could have tied it, So it's not a game where Mex like ended up not, how they say sin pies ni cabeza, where they were completely clueless. At the end, they sort of woke up and came really close. So I don't really see the team being bad. I know the argument is they could be better, but at that point you need the players too. It's not just the coach, and just saying putting this guy or that guy, that doesn't mean that it's automatically gonna be an improvement. Which is, players do hit a slump, and going back to that, we were making that comparison to before the 2014, when they were there was a lot of the players there that, like Chicharo and a lot of these other guys, they were playing bad, and they were saying, "Oh, just leave him out." But by the time they played the World Cup, they all ended up having a good tournament. So that also, you have to, as the coach, think, okay, do I take these guys out because they hit a slump in a couple games? Yeah. So it's a tough call. I know there has to be some one or two to shake things up, but I mean, it's not as easy as just, it's not the EA FIFA game. You just switch them up. You buy a couple cards and then your team's automatically good.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, we get a victory against Jamaica. It might be difficult, because we're on the road for the fourth time. But even a win or a draw, it will be fine. I think what people are fearing is going into repechaje, because, we don't want to play against Conmebol for the, for one of the tickets to the World Cup, because, Conmebol right now, it's a freaking dogfight. Even Uruguay's, they got their shit pushed in today against Bolivia. So it's not easy. It's not easy.
Were they playing in Bolivia? Because man, that,
they can be up in. I know the altitude out there is insane, right?
Yeah, it is. La Paz, I believe, and it's been one of the difficult ones where some of the teams are crying and trying to get that venue removed,
it's almost 12,000 feet above sea level.
There was talk of some Argentine, I don't know if it was a club, and they said that the secret to I kid you not, Jaime. They said the secret to being able to hang in that altitude was to take some man, what are those pills? Damn. The blue pills for potency.
Viagra?
Oh, man. Yes, there you go. I don't know how that works, but that was true. It I don't know how that exactly works, but that did happen.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Bolivia had 14 home wins and 10 draws, only 2 away draws and no away wins. So I think Bolivia really making that home field advantage a big deal.
It's been for them when they've had good teams, you know, because their program sort of, they've been one of the worst teams, you know. They, you know, when we see the CONMEBOL team, they've been one of the worst ones. But every now and then they they'll get a couple good players and they could turn that place into a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, right now, so CONCACAF, you get 3 guaranteed tickets to the World Cup. The 4th is a playoff spot against the 5th position. The 6th position CONMEBOL team.
And who's 6 right now, Jaime?
Right now it's Chile.
Imagine a Chile Mex.
Oh my God.
Ooh.
And so check it out. Chile, Uruguay are tied on points. So 6 and 7 is just they have a better goal differential. And then Bolivia is right there too. So it's like,
and those are teams Mexico has beaten, but I still would not want to play them.
Yeah. You just don't even want to be in that position. So These next World Cup qualifying matches in January are going to be pretty. They're going to be a pretty big deal. Jamaica and then they go home to play Costa Rica. So this could make or break Mexico and Tata. I mean, but here's the thing: it's like, are you really gonna, you know, say the worst case scenario happens? We end up losing against Jamaica. We end up losing against Costa Rica. Do you really think that we're gonna fire our coach like this deep into qualifiers? Like, no, that's not going to fix anything. If anything, I think that they need to just call up different players, because right now, you know, maybe that's what they need. Maybe they need a more of a domestic side than calling players from Europe.
Well, I think if there's no, I think there is the possibility, like if you say that he loses the next 2 games, because then there will be pressure mounted. And if they see that it's like this dude lost the team or whatnot, which is similar to what happened to Chepo, because he had a very good start with the Selección,
winning the World Cup.
And then his first what was it before Hex? I forgot what it's called. The eliminatoria, he made like the most points going into the Hex. I think Osorio almost got there, but he missed it by like 1 to tie him. But so his record was really good up until the Hex started, and then his team started playing bad and he couldn't get them to improve, and he ended up getting sacked. But I mean, he did lose at Azteca. He tied Jamaica, and then they lose to Honduras. I don't see Tata's team losing at Azteca. I don't see them hitting that stump the way that Chepo's team did. Although Chepo's team had a couple players that became injured and he couldn't use them. A couple of them that had been key players. So he does have that advantage, I'll say. But just hypothetically, if the team was to like just crash, shit the bed in the next 2 games, I do think Jaime he could get sacked. We will probably see Vasco again. He's already in Mexico. Bombero Vasco. Monterrey would land him.
I was looking at So you were mentioning the Chepo run. Yeah, he won all six games in the third round. So he
had, serious third round.
So he had 18 points, and then yeah, like you mentioned in the Hex, they just shat the bed.
That was part of it, Jaime, and people just kept blaming the tactics, but a big part of it was some of his key players got injured. Going into that, some of the players that had been good for him, for his tactics, and he was not able to replace them. And then there was others that just, they had a massive drop in form. And so it's a bad combination, man. Some players get injured and that's it. You won't be able to use them. And then others drop in form. It's not a good scenario. That is a bit different because, you know, there is the two strikers people are calling for, Vela and Chicharo, and he might have to call them up just because the goals aren't there.
Yeah, they're not. And I was kind of curious, you know, because, I mean, Raul had a great game. It's just he can't do it on his own. And he didn't call up any other striker to help him out. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, I just don't know if it's like the right team that he's lining up. I think Raul Jimenez and having a creative midfielder, you know, somebody like, oh, I don't know, La Chofis.
I think he might.
And here's the thing. He might, dude. He's doing a great job. He's in form. He's going to be voted like the best newcomer to the MLS this season. And it's like, yo, give him a shot, man.
It's true. It sounds like a joke, and I've been one of the dudes that have been very critical. But you surround them with a team like that, you know, that with enough talent, and just let Chofis be La Chofis. I do think he could, you know, do some damage there, man.
Yeah, and I think like today, man. The way the game was going, especially late in the second half, like this would have been a perfect super sub. You bring in Chicharito, and he would have bagged it. He would have bagged that one goal that got taken off the line by the goalkeeper. Like, dude, that's his bread and butter. Like, it just when you have players like that, like at your disposal, like use them. Like, that's my point. Is like you want to bring your best. And you know he had a very rough first season in the MLS, but this season he's made an effort. He's scoring goals, and you know, would you rather have him playing Warzone or watching like an NBA game, or have him on your bench when you need a freaking goal, man?
Courtside seat, man. Yeah. Well, who knows, man? Let's see what happens because let's see what happens there. If he does make a return, I know there's gonna be a strong push again to bring him back, especially after these two defeats.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, LA's season is over, so he's not gonna be in form for the next couple of months. So I mean, I don't know what his future looks like, but right now it's like it would have been a great time to have called upon some of these MLS players that, I mean, the season's over for them. This would have been their peak. But you know, now we're going to go into the winter time, and you know, the MLS has a different season than everywhere else in the world. So these guys are on vacation now. But yeah, it's just one of those games where Mexico could have drawn at the end. And my whole thing with like the whole fighting, like, hey, there's plenty of snow, just turn it into a snow fight, you know, do it gentleman's game, you know, like they're over here trying to scrap. I'm like, dude, just start throwing snowballs at each other. I think it would have been hilarious.
It got heated. No, you know, we were talking about this before the match, how for Canada it was such a big game. You know, I think it's sort of confirming where they're at. It's very similar. Canada, U.S., sort of very similar where they're trying to, like,
They got a chip on their shoulder, you know?
Well, they do, but also Mexico, it continues to be the measuring stick. So, of course, when they play them, they're going to go they're going to go all out. And so, and that makes the games against Mex that much more important for them. And I do think, and I did see a sense of this in both games where those teams wanted it more, you know?
Yep. 100% agree.
I think some of these Mex players, they're a bit checked out. They've been around. they just don't seem to get motivated to play these teams. And it's, you know, it's that's why sometimes it pays to have some of the younger guys because they're more hungry. You know, some of these older dudes, they played this game a bunch of times. They don't really care. You know, a lot of these guys going into what they're like third, fourth World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, Guardado's on looking at his what, fourth. So it's like it's one of those things where it's like
when Ochoa would be what he's going on. Is he gonna hit fifth?
He has one less than Guardado because he didn't go to the. Wait, did he go to 06? I don't think he did. Did he? Maybe he did.
He should have gone. I mean, he might not have been the starter because it was Oswaldo, but I think he was there in the bench.
Maybe you're right. Maybe he did go to 06. I'm checking it right now. It was Oswaldo Sanchez. Where's the other goalie? Oh, yeah, he did go to 06. No shit.
So 6, 10, 14, 18. Yeah, he's going to his fifth. He could go to 6 World Cup.
You know, it doesn't feel like it because he wasn't a starter until 2014. You know, so it's like, yeah. That's probably why we're like, well, technically he has like, you know, this will be his third as a starter. But
yeah, and then it's going into his fifth, but times 4. You know, it's almost 20 years of him doing this selección stuff. That's why I say for some of these dudes, they sort of check out a bit. It's hard to maintain that motivation.
I know, like, you know, Chaka is getting, his wife's getting death threats. It's really not that serious, man.
Talk about motivation. This guy.
Dude, this guy is like a big, like super positive person, wants to spread the word of like his, you know, he's very religious and you know, and it's just like his wife's getting death threats. It's like, dude, it's not that serious. Like the fans are some ridiculous.
Nerd. Yeah, it still sucks. And you know, sometimes things like that, it backfires. You know, because if his wife's worried, this dude, or he could be worried too. His head's not going to be in the game.
Yeah, I know. You're just making it worse, to be honest.
That's a big thing with Colombia, which would happen to them. Going into the 94 World Cup, they were one of the favorites to win the tournament. They had, you know, it was that team with Vive, Asprilla, so just top to bottom, a bunch of great players. And you know, but that was around the time of a lot of the drug cartels and all that was huge in Colombia. And there was a lot of betting and whatnot. So there was a lot of pressure and they never really like, that team never really like performed to what I feel they could have been capable of.
Yeah, all that pressure got to them, all the death threats, and just knowing, you know, if we don't have a good outing, you know, we might die.
Okay. And what that one player did, you know, Escobar, the goalkeeper, Oscar Cordova. Yeah, Escobar, because of the own goal. And, you know, they were saying it was a dude that had paid a lot of money for the Colombia to win the match against the U.S.
So speaking about the U.S., Mexico lost 2-0 in Ohio. And I have a little note here. This win marked the first time that the U.S. has beaten Mexico 3 times in a calendar year, with all 3 victories coming in an official competition. The U.S. is now 5-1-1 in home World Cup qualifying matches against Mexico since the 98 World Cup cycle. And all five wins coming in the state of Ohio and by 2-0 score lines. Crazy.
Man, it's their lucky charm there. Well, yeah, and as we said, Mexico's kind of given up their Azteca advantage.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. We'll have a chance to go at U.S. In March. And by then, who knows? We might, you know, things might be different. But,
yeah, and this dude has proven to be Tata's, Tata's Coco. I wouldn't, you know, Soccer United Marketing likes to schedule a friendly against, you know, the U.S., and it's usually around February or even January. And if I'm FMF from Tata, I do not play it. I will not play that game.
Why?
Our listeners should know because I've explained it why. Because U.S. always hosts a training camp. They do a month-long training camp around January. As you said before, all these MLS players aren't playing. They get a lot of them, and they host a training camp, and they just go at it for a whole month. By the time they face El Tri, in that one amistoso, Tri gets their players 3 days before the game. They hold a 2-day camp.
They bring in the strippers. They bring in the...
and shopping. And that's just... Bad. Like you need to respect your rivals, and I feel that at that point, accepting that and knowing you're gonna come in, it's like boxing, you know, like when they're gonna box, why sometimes they can't agree because they have to make certain weight and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's very similar to that, where it's like, I'm not gonna go play you right now because you have that. Right now it's that psychological edge of you want 3 games, and now you're gonna have this extra advantage of a training camp. So it's the cards are stacked against Mexico, so they shouldn't. If it does happen, I think that's just a bad idea. You know, you're just gonna fan the flames. It's a bad idea, top to bottom. It's one of those, you have more to lose than to win. This is a friendly. Who cares if you beat them? It's not gonna get you anything. I would just wait for the big Azteca game and, you know, bring back the OG Aventaja, put it at 10 in the morning, the sun is at its highest, it's, you know, the altitude, everything, the smog is going to kick in.
Yeah, I would definitely.
Although this is another thing, and you would have to, at least, I don't know, dude, bring in the America players, because you do have a bunch of these players from Mex that aren't used to playing in Mex City. Because, you know, they've been in Europe so long, so they don't affect them just the same. But, you know, you got the players there from America, Cruz Azul. You could, those guys could hang. They play there every week. There's plenty to go around.
Yeah, it was a painful defeat, you know, especially considering what happened over the summer, the two cup finals, losing them, and then this real dagger, you know, this big victory, and then, you know, Christian Pulisic scoring, and I get it, you know, it's not fun to be on the losing side of this, 3 games in a row, and you know, I congratulate them for winning, and for Mexico, you know, they gotta do something different. They gotta switch it up, because USA's got them pinned, man.
Yeah, well, you know, we do have to say a couple things here, because I feel that there's a big disservice from the Mex medias. They just like to pile on the hurt, throw the salt, because that's what gets them ratings. They make any situation look worse than it really is. two things to keep in mind of these three games. They only lost one in the regulation time, which was this last one, 2-0. The other two ended in draws. So we have to keep that. All three games were pretty even. You know, despite the 2-0, U.S. didn't exactly dominate or play Mex under the table. So, and then all three games were in the U.S.
Exactly.
So, I mean, those are some things to look at as well, you know, because people tend to just let some of these facts just sweep them under the rug and act like it doesn't matter. And it does matter. You know, having home advantage matters. Has Mexico lost three games at the Azteca? Then, yeah, I will be like, okay, what's going on? But it didn't. They lost in the U.S., and it's happened before, so it shouldn't be no surprise.
Yeah, I think everyone just needs to relax. We have a upcoming friendly against Chile in December in Austin. We'll see if we get into that match.
That's a good one. Prepare for eventual see that one I do approve.
So what happens if we end up are we gonna call Piojo again to bail us out? Like, what's gonna be the
No, they wouldn't call Piojo, dude. They call Vasco.
Again?
He's a bombero, dude, third time's the charm. I think Piojo would be a candidate, but I don't know, man. If you're Piojo, do you want to give up your cushy job at Tigres?
He's making good money.
You could do if he could do the Tuca deal, be there a good 10 years. Oh man, he's gonna be living that sweet life, man. We were seeing Tuca driving a Ferrari just to go to Oxxo and pick up some soda and shit. It sounds like we're joking, but this fucker was driving around in a fucking Ferrari. He even crashed into him. Remember, he got all pissed off. This shit's handmade, dude.
So like when I hear it and I like think about it, I just picture him like in a Ferrari and like, you know, in Monterrey, just like sticking out like a sore thumb.
He's doing donuts.
he's getting gas and shit. Like, oh my gosh.
He'll pull up into the Tigres parking lot and just donuts. Yeah, no, man, that's one of the best playing gigs you're gonna get. Don't get any better than that for Piojo. I wouldn't leave. I would pay World Cup, man. I'm not going to go for three games, and then the media's going to, and the fans are going to turn me into a fucking villain. If you guys, I'm staying over here where, you know, everything is sweet, sunshine and rainbows. No, I do think he would be one of the candidates, and also Vasco, if people think that, you know, they're going to go after Zidane or some other big, it's not happening. there's no one really right now.
If Mexico gets Zidane, I will shave my head like Zidane. And my eyebrows, bro. I will shave both.
Don't get Gignac to convince him.
Oh man, nah. I don't know. I don't know what's the future of Mexico. I will say with Tata, he's done an acquitted job. I don't know. It hasn't been as smooth as it was with Juan Cambios Osorio.
But you know, real quick, also on that, that's the other thing that we need to keep in mind is that. Each hexagonal, well, this is called something else. Each World Cup qualifier is a bit different in this region, especially because, as we said, how inconsistent these teams are. So the U.S., the previous one, they were like in their low point they were at a low point where they didn't even qualify. And they started working, and they already had some players, but they were younger, and now they're we're seeing this team, you know, the fruits of that. Same with Canada. They had already been working, and we're seeing that now. So, and Panama for a long time has been already investing more. And we talked about how Panama was sending their players and even coaches going into Colombia and bringing in also, you know, just learning from them. And they always had these, they actually have the players that are like, you know, very athletic, big dudes, man. And that helps out a lot. So every now and then it's you have to see how these teams are doing or how they've been working, and you could get a good idea of how much more difficult the process is going to be. And this one is definitely more, the teams are more stronger than the previous one. I mean, even Costa Rica, look how bad they're doing.
Absolutely. We have Repechaje coming back to Liga MX. It's been a break. Santos will kick things off against Atlético San Luis at 5 p.m., followed by Puebla hosting Chivas. I know this season has been up and down and unpredictable and a bit frustrating, but how do you feel about our chances against Puebla on Saturday?
I know Chivas did beat Puebla. Then it was the opening game, but that was under Buse. This is not Leaño's team. I don't know, man. This team hasn't really seen. I haven't seen like an improvement where I would have said, okay, they did a good thing firing Buse, because look how much better the team is playing. I don't see it. So I don't really know, man. I know Puebla's not.
Yeah, they don't have Ormeño anymore, so we don't have to worry
about that. They let go of some of their dudes. So there's a team that's beatable. But I don't know, man. I don't know. It's tricky sometimes when you have a coach. It's a rookie coach. He could shit the bed. You know, that's the thing. And is this the one-off repechaje, Jaime?
It's just a one and done. There's no return leg. It's just one.
And that's the other thing. So I do think it's a good chance the Puebla bounces them off. And I think they already, they already announced that Leaño is staying. And so I do feel that there might be some players coming in, whoever is funding that guy. I think they're putting their money where their mouth is. But I mean, I don't really care. As a Chiva fan, I don't really care, man. This team's not. I just they don't have it, you know. I don't see them going far, anyways.
Yeah, if memory serves me correct, the first time they did this repechaje, they beat Necaxa in a one done game, and then that's the run where they ended up going all the way to the semis against. And losing in the semis because they beat
America. León, right?
They beat America and then they lost to León.
Yes.
And then
yes, and that was the good old Buse that Chiva fans
and then
turned again.
Yeah, and then last season they go to repechaje against Pachuca and they end up losing. So it was just like, you know, so far we're 1-1 in these do or die games. What I can say is, luckily for Chivas, none of their players were called for international duty. So we're looking at a well-rested squad going into this match. And I think that was one thing that was kind of holding Chivas back. You know, we had Alexis Vega dealing with injuries, and I think the team was just tired. So,
and is he, and that's going to bring him up, is he recovered? Because I feel that he's right now the difference. See, that's hurting Chivas as well right now. I do think next season, and if JJ Mack returns, and then Vega gets in good form, I do think if there's, I feel there's some money coming in, probably through the Leaño Akron connection, they could bring 2-3 players. I do think Chivas will be more competitive. Right now, if any edge I gave to Chivas was all on Buse, I don't know. Maybe Leaño will surprise me. He does have Menotti on speed dial, so. But even then, Menotti seems to have checked out like years ago, man. He's like Mr. Magoo. I think he sees shit. You know, he's looking at the TV and it's like blurry lines. It's just smoking and just. So I don't know, man. I'm not big on Leaño, man.
Yeah. We also have games on Sunday. Toluca will play against Pumas. That should be a very good one. And then Cruz Azul versus Monterrey. Those are a little bit harder to predict. I think Santos will beat Atlético San Luis. But Toluca, Pumas, I mean, I think Toluca were in better form.
Yeah.
And then Cruz Azul, Monterrey, I mean, that's like
Jaime, Toluca were in better form. But, and this is something you've said before, the teams that catch fire going into Liguilla usually do good, and that's been Pumas.
They beat Cruz Azul 4-3 on the last game of the season, so, yeah.
Yeah, their last games, they sort of turned it up. They found their inner beast, and they came out swinging. So, yeah, Pumas might ruin Cristante's return.
Yeah, actually, you did bring up a good point. I'm trying to find the last time Toluca won. It's been a minute, so.
Yeah, because they started really good.
They did.
We were talking about how their coach, well, I was surprised too, because, you know, they brought him back and they were just having a really great season. I think at one point they were even top of the table.
Yeah, they were like neck and neck, and then I don't know what happened, man. They went through a slump.
Yeah, you don't want to hit it going into Liguilla. That's the worst.
I think their last victory was against America in match week 9.
So, oh, wow.
Wait, let me double check because, yeah, man, they have not won since. So we're talking about almost half the tournament that they just gave up.
I'm gonna give this one to Pumas, and I'm happy for Liliani, and I'm glad Pumas stuck by him because, you know, people were saying that he was smoke and mirrors. You know, he takes over the team. He was there as a trainer, and he became the interim coach, and then did an awesome job when he. Pumas, actually, they had the Spaniard guy who left because he wanted to be with his mom during COVID. What's that dude's name?
Oh, Jemez? No.
Michel, was it? No. No, man, Jemez.
That was Cruz Azul. My bad.
I think it was Michel.
Michel. I think
it was former Real.
Yeah, he was Pumas coach.
And he's like,
oh, he's like Getafe now.
Well, he left because during the COVID thing or something around that time. He said something about his mom and he leaves like preseason or something. And Liliani just takes up, you know, he's like, I'll do it. He goes on the hot seat. He'd been around for a while as coach, but not as the main coach. Oh. And he does a fantastic job, takes him all the way to the final. You know, they were one of the better teams. They lose to León. But they were just a really good team. And then Pumas just dismantles his team, you know, takes apart his car, man. And Pumas has sucked since, but he's got them back. You know, they're all bandaged up and taped up, and he got them back in there. So I think I'm glad that at least they didn't, you know. Normally they'll just blame the coach. It's like, yeah, we sold all these players, but it is the coach's fault.
Yeah. So what about Cruz Azul Monterrey, the current champions, and then you have Aguirre, who's got a chip on his shoulder, you know?
He did win. There's a thing about Aguirre. Old wolf knows his shit. You know, he bested Solari, America, and America. We had to give it up for them. I know we were saying how ridiculous it seems for some of their fans to be complaining. I believe they just broke the record for most points that they had, I think, under Piojo. And I think with Solari now, they broke that record of most points in a short season. And it's like, hey, you're saying that dude sucks? We cannot trade for Leaño. You want to see hurt? You want to see real pain? I'm like Bane. You merely adopted it.
I was born in it.
I didn't even see a Liguilla till I was a grown man. No, not a Liguilla, a first place finish. I don't want to say that, but yeah, dude. I think Aguirre, he has a few tricks up his sleeve. It will be disappointing if he does fail, though, because he's like the highest paid and much more is expected of that Monterrey team. But he did already add a silverware to their vitrina. That is definitely going to be a one to watch, you know? Two strong teams going at it, two good coaches. I would say, though, that Aguirre should have, you know, an edge over Reynoso. Yeah, so we'll see. It's interesting. I actually want to see that game. I think that could be one to watch. And if they do make it in there, you know, mm-hmm. I would say whichever team, you know, it will easily be a dark horse. I would leave Ame as favorites, and then one of these two as dark horse, and then Tigres as well has to be one of the favorites as well. But I'll say that, well, we see the difference between, like, say, Tigres America is that Solari's been at America a bit longer, knows his team a bit better, and this is Piojo's first run with that club. He's still, you know, still getting a feel for them.
Yeah, I think once we get past these four matches for Repechaje, we can start to see how things shape up and the matchups for, you know, go from 12 to 8 teams. But, I mean, I said it plenty of times this season, you know, America, I mean, it's their tournament to lose. I really do think that they're the most consistent team. Soldati's got them playing some great football, and we'll see. You know, we'll see if somebody can upset them. Atlas, I think they've I don't expect them to do much.
Oh man, I forgot about Atlas.
Yeah, man, they're in second place.
Damn, I forgot about that. No, and actually, even though I am Chiva fan, I'm glad for Atlas. I think, and I was expecting this, as you know, Grupo Orlegi, they have their winning recipe, and there's no reason why it shouldn't work with Atlas. And I do think they're gonna be giving Chivas a run for their money pretty soon, just because it's much easier for, you know, when you could bring in extranjeros to build or rebuild a squad. And Chivas is just having such a difficult time bringing in players, which I was going to say, I do feel that what's going on with Chivas is going to happen or is happening with the selección. And it all goes down to the whole, you know, Mex decided to double up on extranjeros. So they go from like 60 to 120. This doesn't mean there's 60 extra players. It means that there's 60x less Mexican players. And we're seeing that, where players that would have been around that might have gotten a chance, like Ormeño, right? We went through his career, how Puebla ended up just using him because they needed him, and he ended up blowing up to the point where he's he got called up to Peruvian national team.
Yep.
And this is a guy that up until 25 years old, he only had what, Jaime, like 20 games maybe in first division? I mean, so we're really not going to see that many players like that, which we shouldn't. But I mean, it makes it more difficult for some players. And I like to give this example that it's Moncho Morales. He, you know, everybody knows Moncho. He had great career and he was always tops with the selección. Well, this dude was at Monterrey as a bench. He was just like, they just had him there. And Chivas got him from Monterrey as a reserve. They weren't thinking of him as a, he's going to be one of our main players. They brought him in to cover. And you know, and he ended up just blowing up because he came to the right team with the right tactics for him. But you're not going to see it like that now. It's harder to have something like that just because it's if there was like three or four dudes on the bench that were Mexican, now they're extranjeros. So for Chivas, you're not going to see that. And for the Mex team, Selección, that means even less players, you know, less players to juggle around.
Yeah, looking at his trajectory, Moncho Morales started at La Piedad and went to Monterrey. And his transfer to Chivas wasn't until he was 24. So, I mean, he was already, you know, over the hump, barely getting his, you know, established in the league.
So, and at 24, you should already be a starter.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be like on your third team trying to win a spot. That happens when you're younger. You know, by 24, you're already like a commodity.
Yeah. Development in Mexico has always been kind of slow like that, though. I mean, there's very, very, very rare, like, you know, you look at Guardado and Ochoa getting their debuts and being undisputed starters. Like, that doesn't always happen. Those are very, like, rare case scenarios.
It is, and it shouldn't be, because there's so many examples like that of they played at the younger age and they did so well. You would think teams would be more like, you know what, of course we could have more Guardados, more Ochoas, even Rafa Márquez, because he was at the young age. He was already playing. You know, but it's like the opposite. It's like no matter how many talent comes out, they don't have faith in it. So we were talking about Marcelo Flores, and big reason is, for those that don't know, because I didn't even know until like 2 days ago or three, that Mexico was hosting a Revelations Cup.
That's right.
Because they invited they did a tournament. I think, are they hosting it, or did they just come up with the tournament? No, because is this like a FIFA, like, did they just make up the tournament, or what's going on? Do you know?
Let's see. It was organized by FMF.
Yeah. Okay. So, but they invited teams. They invited Brazil, the U.S.
Colombia.
I don't know what. Colombia and Mexico won. They won it. They won the cup. They beat Brazil, and then they beat the U.S. today. They beat them 2-1, and Flores scored in those two games. I don't know if he scored in any games previous to that. But that's why he's trending. But, I mean, we're seeing some talent there, and we've seen it before, under 17 and whatnot. But then when they go back to Mex, they get buried in the youth teams. They don't really put them in the first division teams. And I think that's what hurts a lot, the league and the national team as well.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. Not a bad idea. And, I mean, we got to see Marcelo Flores, like, kill it. And he's starting to get some eyeballs on him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty much episode 310 as far as what happened and what's going to happen this weekend. Do you have any closing thoughts before we put a bow tie on this?
Yes, I'm going to say for all the Three Hermanos, they're losing the faith. And I know there's been a lot of trolling going on. A lot of the media saying how U.S. already surpassed, Mexico, and we've heard that tale before. I just say don't get wrapped up on that. It takes more than losing head-to-head games to be surpassed. If we use that logic, then Mexico surpassed Brazil a while back, because we went through a period where Mexico beat Brazil, Confederaciones. They beat them in a couple finals.
Gold Cup.
That doesn't mean that. Yeah, that didn't make Mexico better than Brazil. It made them better, perhaps in head-to-head matchups, but not overall better. You know, at the end of the day, they went to the World Cup. Brazil was more likely to bring it home, and that's very similar here going on with the U.S. U.S. might be have Mexico's number, but until they're winning more at the international stage, until they're doing better at the international stage, winning an Olympics, winning those youth tournaments, putting the better performances at the World Cup, then I wouldn't be giving up the whole saying, oh, they're the new Giants, or they're this or that. I think the media is really easy to relinquish that crown. It's like they just lose once and, oh, yeah, here you go. It's like, no, man. There's this big, shiny vitrina here filled with gold. You need to equal that or surpass it before you can wear the crown. That's going to be my closing thoughts, Jaime. Oh, and I wanted to know your prediction on Cruz Azul Monterrey.
I'm gonna give it to Monterrey. I think Aguirre has a lot more to prove this season than Cruz Azul. You know, I think Cruz Azul finally got that monkey off their back, and they're like, all right, cool. You know, but they are the defending champions, so you got to give them a little bit of credit. Well, I will also say that, you know, if you look at the two squads, you know, Orbelín Pineda got some action today. You had Luis Romo had action the other day. So, you know, these players are not going to be 100% fit for that match. Whereas with Rayados, I think only...
Good points.
I think Gallardo was the only one that actually got minutes. Funes Mori was not... He didn't get any action. Charlie didn't get any action. So, yeah, I think that going into Sunday, I got to give it to Rayados. And if things go as planned, you know, say Chivas do beat Puebla, they are the 10th seed. Chivas are the 10th seed. So they could potentially play against either America or Atlas if they get past.
Oh, damn. Classic. Yeah.
Because you're going against number one or number two, you know, since they're ranked so low. One or two will be against the lowest ranked seed that's left. So that would be Chivas, unless Atlético San Luis and Pumas get some victories. So we'll see.
That Televisoras will be hoping that, yeah, for that Chivas win, because that's Chivas is ratings gold.
Yeah.
No matter how bad they are. They're still ratings gold, man.
Yeah, I think everybody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see America versus San Luis or Atlas versus
Puebla.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know, if Chivas can get through Saturday, they'll at least get guaranteed two more games and you know.
Oh, yeah. So just hearing that, Jaime, if I'm FMF, I throw in Santander there as a ref. A couple calls their favor, a penalty here.
Our MVP.
You know, red card there.
Yeah. What I will say this, now that you mention it, the refereeing today was really, really bad in the Mexico-Canada game. You cannot allow shit like that to go. Like, there was a few plays I'm waiting for the yellow card to come out. Like, there was a breakaway from Canada, and Gallardo just literally grabbed this guy by the collar. And,
he did,
and the referee was like, referee didn't say anything. I'm like, dude, the problem when you do that is, okay, now he's got a chip on his shoulder. The players have like that, you know, that animosity towards each other. And now at the next play where there's like something happens, there's going to be a fight. And that's exactly what happened. So I think the referee
and you know what?
Didn't know what to do.
That play was yellow card, and you don't whistle it because the player managed to get away.
Right.
And so he was still possession, and
he had the advantage.
They still had an opportunity to create a goal or a goal scoring chance. But after once the play ends, he could bring the player and card him, and I think that's where he failed.
Yeah. And then after the match, he just kind of lets the teams go at it. He didn't really intervene. So I'm like, oh, you know what? I don't know. It's just one of those things. Oh boy, we talked a lot today. It was a lot of emotions for everybody online. One piece of advice for everyone that's listening, specifically to the Liga MX Reddit community. Just don't hop on the keyboard and talk with your emotion, man. Like, take a chill pill. You know, it's not the end of the world. Yeah, it hurts to lose these matches, but Mexico's still on pace to qualify to Qatar, and that's all that matters, because it's a completely different ball game once you get in. And the goal is just to get in.
It is. And once they get there, it's a different tournament. And also, this isn't really bad. I mean, you haven't seen bad. If you think this is Mexico playing bad, no, they've been much, much worse.
I do want to give a shout out to the British Invasion. We had a Q&A on the Spotify. Who's your favorite club? He said Atlas. And we also had Pedrito say that his favorite club is Los Bravos de Juarez. So I appreciate your guys' responses on Spotify. We do have a Q&A there. And we also have a poll every episode. So make sure to participate on the Spotify episode of 310. And with that, I hope everybody has a good night. Make sure to watch the repechaje matches this weekend. And we'll catch you on the next one.